To be in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, like I said, some of the videos I'll probably do will go along with the message. This one didn't particularly, but it just caught me as it was funny. And we had a couple of people that are interested in joining the church, so I guess maybe it would be an appropriate time to look at that. Amen? Okay, Brian, now this is supposed to be preached. Just kidding. Brian reminded me the other day, I gave him my text. Brian's been fixing up the notes ahead of time, so Eileen doesn't have to do it last minute. He said, "Hey, this is the text I preached on from when we had the Solomon's mission the other day." He must have inspired me to preach out of it today. So maybe Acts chapter 16, 23. I'll get there in just a second. The title of the message today is "The Breaks of Praise." The Breaks of Praise, and I shared this with my men's prayer group, and then our Wednesday night prayer people, and maybe even this morning in our Sunday school hour, talked about that. And I was talking about this fact here, you know, when we start doing the prayer request, like, you know, what do we need to pray for? And you know how the prayer requests usually go. It's, you know, hospitalizations and illnesses and deaths in somebody's family and all those type things. And I told the men, you know, I went in the prayer meeting the other night, man, I mean, I was feeling kind of cold and dead to start with. And we started listing off all the things we needed to pray for. And I'm thinking, man, I'm telling you what, if you're not depressed, by the time you get done with prayer request, you know, you're getting feeling pretty depressed right then. But, you know, I looked at the model prayer and I thought about this and I said, you know, men, this is what I want to do with our little prayer group. And it's not a bad idea now. I said, after we name off all the things that we need to pray about, you know, there's tragedies, listen, the election, that's pretty depressing. And, you know, all those things. I said, let's list all the things that we need to praise God for. All the things that we can just praise God for. And, you know, I got to thinking, I didn't get Daryl quick enough. I was going to get you, Eileen, I want you guys to get some cricket sounds queued up in the thing for sometime. I'm going to use them from time to time, probably use them a lot. But, you know, I started thinking about that. And I said, you know, let's do some praise and praise request. And this is this Wednesday night. I said, you know, okay, we got all the sicknesses out. And there was a lot of them. I mean, a lot of people. I said, all right, now, Sue's got something to praise. That'd be the cricket sounds would come in right now. You know, chirp, chirp, chirp. Finally, somebody says, oh, I got something to praise about. And we get, you know, and then somebody else says, well, but listen, it was nowhere in quantity like the other request that we had from God. And I started thinking about that. You know, is not God doing anything in our life? You know, now we can always look at negative and look at positive things. So maybe every day what we ought to do is wake up in the morning and say, you know, what is God doing in my life? Or what has God done in my life since salvation? Maybe my whole life since before I even knew the Lord. What did God do in my life this past week? What's God doing in my life? And what's God going to do in my life today? Maybe we ought to start looking at those kind of things. The Bible says this, you know, is in Psalm 22:3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel." And, you know, I think I can apply that this way without doing any harm to the text. I believe that we could apply that, you know, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of thy people." I think I could put thy people in the place there of Israel and not harm that. That God inhabits the praise of his people. And so, you know, is God doing something in your life? And everybody's going to say, keep it real. You know, you got to think about that for a minute. Because, you know, we don't think about that so much. I know that God is doing something in our life, but we need to think about that. And so I think this, that, you know, we think about prayer and you think about praise and prayer's good. Somebody said this, prayer brings God down to us, but praise brings us up to God. Amen. That's a good point right there. Prayer is mitigation. Praise is liberation. And I tell you, the other night, you know, I came in, like I said, I was feeling kind of cold and dead. Man, we're going through the prayer meeting thing. Just, you know, we've been doing it for a year now on Tuesday with the men, and I was feeling cold. But then I said, hey, you know, I think we ought to just start mentioning some things to praise about. And man, we started mentioning things to praise about, and I felt completely different. It was just a whole a liberating thing, a liberating experience from the doldrums or the indifference and the coldness and deadness. Man, it was a liberating thing. Hebrews 13:15 says, "By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." Continually. That's the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. God looks at it as a sacrifice to God continually. That's the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Matter of fact, I got to thinking, I think it's Satan himself that gets us constantly to say, God, help me. God, 911. God, I got this problem. God, I got this is something you got to take care of. God, take care of this. God, take care of that. You know, like he's an errand boy. Huh? And we're just giving God our laundry list of things that he needs to do for us. It's not that he can't and it's not that he won't, but I just think Satan gets us to thinking that that's all God is there for, and Satan's the one that stops us from giving praise to God because God commands us to give praise to him. Like I said, there's always something to be thankful for. I told the Wednesday night crowd, everybody just check your pulse, get one, see if you got one. Huh? There's a praise right there. Amen, right? You got up this morning, name wasn't in the obituary column. There's a praise, right? Huh? You breathing? There's a praise right there. There was something to praise God. Praise God with our lips, it says. It doesn't say praise God in your mind. It just says praise God with your lips. That's audible, verbal praise, just like prayer. Same thing. You know, so I looked. I got, all kind of resources that I use to preach with. And I thought, well, I got topical index. I got like several of them. And I said, well, I'm going to look at a topical index. I'm going to look up praise. So I punch it in on my computer, pops up. Here's the thing about praise. Listen to this. Under the heading, it says, praise is due God on account of. Got that? Praise is due God on account of. And it started giving these lists. Now, it listed all the verses that apply. Now, I didn't read all the list, you know, the verses to you. But this is what it says. Praise is due God on account of His majesty, His glory, His excellency, His greatness, His holiness, His wisdom, His power, His goodness, His mercy, His loving kindness, His truth, His faithfulness, His salvation, His wonderful works, His consolation, His judgment, His counsel, His promises fulfilled, His pardon of sin, His spiritual health, or our spiritual health, His constant preservation, His deliverance, His protection, His answering prayer, His hope of glory, His spiritual blessings, His temporal blessings, and continuance of blessings. And I'm sure that's not exhaustive right there. And I thought, man alive. And then it said this. It said it should be offered with, our praise should be offered with understanding, the soul, the whole heart, the lips, the mouth, with joy, with gladness, with thankfulness, continually, during life, more and more, day and night, day by day, forever and ever, throughout the world, in psalms and hymns. And then there was a couple other headings that I'm not going to give you. I didn't write them down, and I thought, man alive, you know what? If I decided, okay, you know what? I'm going to do a series on praise, and I'm going to preach praise every Sunday morning. I'm going to have a topic, and I'm going to preach on praise that I could preach it for a whole year, and I wouldn't get done. A whole year, and I wouldn't get it done. This is what the Bible has to say about praising God. Yet, you know, we're so much leaning on, requesting things to God instead of just saying something to God. We're saying, I mean, you know, what a relationship we would have with somebody, and maybe some of you married folks got this kind of relationship, I don't know, but what kind of relationship would we have if all we said, we saw the other person coming, and every time we saw him, we'd say, hey, I'd like for you to do this, I'd like for you to do that, I'd like for you to, yeah, that's my marriage, right? You know, I'd like for, I mean, boy, you see the other person coming, man, you'd start running for cover, because you know they're going to give you a list of things to do. That's a lot of times our relationship with God. You know, here they come. I know God's not saying it this way, but, you know, God could say, oh, here they come with a prayer. I wonder what, let me get my pen and paper down because they got a whole list of things that they want me to do. You know, instead of just saying, you know, I just want to thank you for being who you are. I just want to thank you for being God today. You know, I got a thing. I got an encouraging text this morning. Harold Vaughn, we have Harold come. Harold's a busy man. He preaches all over the world, has the prayer advance, men's, ladies, couples, does all kinds of things. I haven't talked to him in months. Just hadn't heard nothing. I heard my little phone thing go off this morning. I was in there. I was actually looking over this outline right here. And, I saw this message on there. And this is Harold Vaughn, busy man, a man that God uses. He said, thanks for being a good, in capital letters, friend. Blessing and power today. Man, I'm going to tell you something, man. That was encouraging, man. That was an encouraging thing, man. I was ready to attack hell with a squirt gun right then. I was looking over my message that came in. What inspired him to do that? I don't know. Maybe he had a bad dream. And I was in it. I don't know what it was. But thank God for that. That was an encouraging thing. And so there was something to praise God for. So I got a text here I want us to read. It's a familiar text for us. It's Paul and Silas. They've been thrown into jail. And I'm going to start in verse 23. It says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when they had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing God with all his house." Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And we just want to praise you, Lord, for what you've done for us, what you're going to do for us. Lord, there's so many things. Lord, forgive us, Lord, for being so selfish and self-centered in our conversations with you. Lord, help us to realize all you've done for us. If you never did another thing, Lord, you've done more than enough. And we want to thank you for that this morning. I pray you speak to our hearts today through your word. And we'll trust you in advance for the outcome. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said, the breaks of praise, I want to talk about that. You know, I'd say Paul and Silas were having a bad day. I didn't read this far over there, but they had some highlights. I think right back at verse 16, if you look at verse 16, it says this, talking about Paul and Silas. It came to pass as we went to prayer. It came to pass. There's Paul and Silas. They're just going down the road, and they're just going to pray to God. I mean, you know, how much trouble can you get in? On the way, they meet this girl, this damsel, it says, that was possessed with a spirit of divination. She was demon-possessed. And they had some men that kind of had control of her, and they made a living with her. She could, like, foretell some things of the future. And so they made a living with her, and Paul and Silas came, and they saw her. Well, they cast the demon out. And, of course, the men that when that happened, all of a sudden now they lost their source of income. You know what money does. And they lost their source of income. And so they complained to the magistrates, and that's how they ended up in jail. It said that they beat them. They stripped off their clothes. They beat them, and they threw them in to the prison. Not only the prison, the lower parts of the dungeon, way down inside, down at the bottom. You know how the bottom is. I mean, you know, all you have to know to be a plumber is hot's on the left, cold's on the right, and you know what runs downhill. And when you're down in the bottom of the dungeon and all the other prisoners are up there above you, everything is running downhill. So it's kind of like a muck and mire that's down in there. And another point, every time I read the Bible in certain places, I see some things that I saw them before, but I didn't pay any attention. A little bit later, when they sang praises and God broke the prison open and all that, it said, I picked this up today or the other day when I read it, it said that the jailer called for a light and looked in there. That means that it was so dark down there that the jailer couldn't even tell if there was any prisoners still in there without a light. Now, man, can you imagine being stuck down in a hole that all the excrement from all the other prisoners are down in the bottom of the hole, rats and roaches the size of mice probably. They're down in there with you. You can't even see. I mean, it's so dark that he couldn't even see, and you're down there in the bottom of that. I'd say you're having a bad day. Huh? You done been beat. You know, you're stripped off. It don't say they gave their clothes back to them. You're down in there. You're beat, man, probably naked. And you're in the dark and you're in all this funky stuff. And you got stuff running around. And, man, they are having a bad day. All started just because they went to prayer. You know, talking about being depressed. Sherry was reading something to me. We get the Reader's Digest. My dad used to get it. So I read them when I was a kid and we just kept on getting them. It had a thing about depression in there. And it says that more people suffer with depression than you think, than really thinks about it. Because sometimes you think about real bad depression, what people do is they just lay in bed all day. I knew people that have gotten this way. They didn't want to get out of bed. They just lay in bed all day long and, just didn't want to do nothing. That's one of the side effects. But they said another sign of depression is, it said if you just kind of like fly off the handle at nothing, like I thought, man alive, I've been depressed all my life. I didn't even know it. I didn't even know. I said, if you just fly off the handle, they said road rage, Stanley. They said road rage, if you suddenly start having road rage, is a sign of depression, brother. So you might be your issue right there. Man, you're depressed. But they said, so I got to looking at it, and it said a lot of other things, that there's a lot of people that maybe struggle more with depression, than things. Well, this, I'm going to give you the cure right here for depression is praising God. Amen. You know, something happens when you praise God, and so I'll talk about that. 3 points on the breaks of praise. The very first one is break down. The very first one is break down. The Bible says there, after all this that had gone on, they're down in the bottom. Now, you got to think. I'm just keeping it real. You're in the bottom of all this muck and mire. It's dark. You got rats. You got cockroaches. You done been beat. You don't have no clothes on. You can't see nothing. Hey, I think, hey, let's have a sing-along. How about that? Huh? You going to be thinking like this? Huh? No, man. I mean, you know what you're going to be doing? Prayer requests. What do you think the prayer request would be if you were in those places right there? Well, forget about praising God. Man, we're going to tell Lord, you got to get me out of here, man. We got to get even with them people for doing that to us. No, it says that they sang and they praised God. What happened? It says suddenly in verse 26, there was a great earthquake. So the foundation, now it doesn't say that they said they prayed. I don't know what they prayed about. Maybe they said, God, get us out. I don't know. But I think they praised God. There was a great earthquake. The foundation shook. The doors opened up. It says the bands loosened. Man, right there because they were praising God. Here's where we got to learn what we got to learn to do right here. There's no situation or no circumstance should hinder our prayer and our praise. It don't matter what it is. See, a lot of times you think, well, boy, man, I went down to the post office boy and Ed McMahon had sent the $10 million publisher's clearinghouse was in the mailbox. And I said, boy, I felt like shouting. I was going to praise God. Yeah, anybody could praise God there. Boy, I went down there and I entered this little contest and I won a brand new car. Or I went to work and I got a raise and everything was going good. Everybody can praise God. Why do we let the circumstance or situation, because God's still God, we're still saved, we still got a pulse, we still got a heartbeat. Why not just say, hey, what? You know what? I've been beat. I've been thrown in the dungeon. But guess what? I'm still down here and I'm still living and God's not done with me yet. I got something to praise God about. Why let a circumstance? So don't let a circumstance or a situation keep you from praising God. It don't matter whether you're in the prison house or you're in the penthouse. Either way, pray and praise God. Now, another thing we see right here, I think praise produces a movement of God. Praise produces a movement of God. I got a feeling, I don't know why, I just got a feeling by reading the text that if they've been down in there saying, woe is me, moaning and groaning, I think God might have said, well, you know what? You're going to stay in there just a little bit longer until you learn something, namely to praise me and no matter what, but you're going to stay in there just a little bit longer. I think it was the praise that got God to come down and bust open the prison doors and get everything out of there. God, the Bible says that God inhabits the praise of His people. God inhabits that. And so praise produced a movement of God and it revealed the presence of God. In this case here, I think Paul and Silas, when you think about it, when you're down there in the dungeon and you're down in there and all that, do you want God to come down there or do you want to be brought up to where God's at? Huh? I think that's what happened. See, the prison it brought them up to God's level. It brought them up to where God was. Man, they were singing. Man, they was having a good old time. Something happens when we praise God. It breaks down some things. It breaks down some walls. Think about Jericho. You remember, the story of Jericho, how they defeated Jericho. What was the deal? God said, listen, I want you to go over the river. He said, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to march around the city once every day. And he said, and I think that they were praising God when they marched around the city. I'm just thinking this because on the last day it says, I want you to go around 7 times. He said, on the 7th time, then he goes, I want you to blow a trumpet. When do you blow a trumpet? You blow a trumpet when, you're feeling good, man. You blow the trumpet. And then he goes, I want you to shout. Shout out, amen. I don't know what they shouted out. Amen. Praise God, something. You got to shout something, right? They praised God, and what happened? Walls came down, brother. The walls came down. You know, praise defeats the enemy. Amen. Who's the enemy? Satan. That's why when we have prayer requests, you got the cricket sounds instead of a prayer. Or we have a praise request, I should say. We have the cricket sounds instead of people saying, hey, let me tell you what God's doing. Because Satan wants you to get to that point right there. He wants the walls to stay up. He doesn't want you to realize what God's done for you. So we don't praise God, right? We don't praise God. We're missing half of everything God has for us when we only request and we don't make praise. So it was praise that knocked down the walls. And, you know, a lot of people have put up walls in their life and they've got some walls up in this way where they won't let God have everything. They let God have part of their life. Might be, God, you can have part of my time, but you can't have it all. I'm going to give you this much time, but there's it. I got a limit on it. This is your little time slot. Do everything you need to do in this spot. Or we got areas of our life. You know, God, I'll give you this, but I got this one area, man. I'm holding that back. You know, and I think that's a hindrance to praise right there. It's hard to hinder or praise God when you're holding something back in your life, because I'll tell you, you don't feel like praising God at that time. And there's some other things. And you know, there's barriers people put up in relationships. I don't want anybody to get too close. You know, I'm going to put this barrier up. I got, you know, you might lower the wall where you're just peering over like you got neighbors. Maybe you got one of them real high fences where you can't see your neighbors at all. They over there, but you don't see. Or then you get one where you can just kind of peer over there and they can peer you. How you doing, buddy? Can't get too comfortable, too close. You get the, you know, you got to bring the walls down. You get barriers in relationships that, you know, and some people don't want people to get too close. They're afraid they're going to get hurt and this and that. And so they won't do that. And it's you know, it's hard to love like Jesus loved when we got a wall up in our life in relationship area. I remember a funny little story with my brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law now that's married to Sherry's youngest sister, him and I were friends way back when he was young. I'm older than him, but he lived next door to a friend of ours and at the time. And we met. And Dee had like relationships where he'd have a girlfriend for like, he'd invest like 5 years in a girl, you know. And then, I mean, he was, but it wouldn't work out. So then he'd invested like another 5 years in the next girlfriend. I mean, everything looked like it's going good. And then for some reason, man. So he was like up in his 30s. He had never got married because, you know, they kept all going kapooey, kapooey along the way. And Sherry's sister had been married before, and that didn't work out. She got married young. And so they were like single. So Sherry and I, we had the bright idea, hey, play Cupid. You know, we'll hook up Barb and Dee, you know. So this is like Labor Day of one particular year, you know, this one Labor Day. And we said, hey, I want you to meet Sherry's sister. Dee had never met her because when she was married, her husband was in the military, so he lived away. So even though I was hanging out, we'd go to the cabin and hunt and stuff. And he hunted. We hunted all over the place together. So we get them hooked up around Labor Day. Oh, yeah, you know, yeah, that's good. Just, you know, this is what they tell us separately. You know, yeah, that'd be fine. Somebody you go out to dinner with, maybe go to a movie. You know, we don't want to get too close. I mean, I got walls, both of them. I got walls, man. I got walls built up. You know, I don't want to get, you know, got these walls, right? This is August, last August, first part of September. November, Dee goes hunting with me on my hunting trip, and he's on the phone with Barbie. Honey this, and oh, honey, I'm like looking at him like, honey, what happened to the wall? You know, January, same year. Well, you know, next year, but I mean same few months. January, we get this phone call. He tells Sherry, oh, get Daniel on the phone. We got something to tell you. I thought, well, Cowboys had lost to the Redskins that year. I said, he's probably going to rag on me about the game because they're diehard Redskin fans. They live in Washington. So I get on there. Well, they're not that smart, I'm telling you. He gets on there and they said, oh, we're getting married. I said, you're getting married? I said, what happened? I got walls. We just want somebody to go out to dinner with. I mean, man, 4 months later or whatever it was, they're getting married, right? But anyway, the walls came tumbling down. Huh, the wall, huh? That was something. But anyway, they've been married a long time now. They're doing well and everything worked out. But, you know, people put walls up a lot of times, they think, in relationship areas right there. Think about Gideon. How did Gideon, remember Gideon? He got like 30,000 men. God said, you got too many. He said, I'm going to defeat this enemy for you, but if you defeat him with 30,000, you'll think you did it. And he said, so he deleted them all down. He got to 300. Gideon got 300 men. How did they defeat the enemy? They put lamps inside a pitcher, had pitchers with candles in them or something. And they got trumpets in their hand. And he said, go out there, surround the enemy. He said, I just want you to break the pitcher, blow the trumpet, and shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. That was a praise right there, right? They shouted up, and what, the enemy got so confused, they ran around, they killed each other. They were in the dark, man. They woke up, you know, you're half asleep, you're laying there sleeping, all of a sudden, man, there's all this light, and somebody's shouting the sword of the Lord to Gideon, man, you got the sword, you're just sticking and stabbing, and they killed each other off. They didn't even have to lift a finger. How'd they defeat them? Praise. Praise God, man. They defeated the enemy with praise. So praise is going to break down walls. It'll break down walls of depression. It'll break down walls of defeat. And any other kind of walls that you want to put up that Satan puts up or gets us to focus on, it'll defeat that. The second thing we see is break out. It says it was midnight. And like I said, you know, darkest part of the night, it was so dark, as I said, the guy, he had to ask the light to see if the prisoners had left, the jailer. Everybody has a midnight part of life. That just represents a real dark time that you may be going through. Or may have to go there. And I'm telling you what, if you're not going through a dark time right now, you probably got one out there somewhere. I mean, I'm hoping not. I'm just saying, just the way life goes, a lot of times there may be some midnights ahead for you. But you know there's a dawn on the other side of midnight, huh? And the Lord's coming back. But you know, you may be going through that dark time, difficult time. It's a great time to praise God. It's a great time to praise God. You know what? Because we can. We can, man. Listen. They were in prison. They was in a prison, and they were bound and shackled. And I want you to know something. There's a lot of people in prisons today that are bound and shackled by other things. I mean, there's addictions to all kinds of things. You know, it don't have to be drugs, dope, pornography. There's people that's addicted to that. There's addictions there. There's sins that have got people bound and held down. There's prisons of the mind. There's prisons of the heart. There's prisons with your family. There's prisons of relationships. There's self-inflicted, self-made prisons, doubts and fears. There's all kinds of prisons. Some prisons, I say, are self-imposed prisons. You put that wall up. You know, sometimes you put a wall up and you want to keep other people from getting too close. You don't want to get hurt, right? So you got the wall up, but you know how a wall is. I mean, a wall like this isn't any good. It's got to keep going, and it's got to go around this way, right? Here's a wall right here. If I put a wall like this, if I keep putting a wall all around, guess what I find out? That I'm in the prison. You're not. See, a lot of times we put walls up to keep other people out, and we find out we don't put ourselves in prison. And there's prison walls, so some prisons are self-imposed. And instead of seeing somebody out, you got yourself locked in. But guess what? Praise, it opened the door, it loosens the bands, it set them free, and it'll do the same for you. So praise will help you cope with your midnight. How many of you ever, this happens sometimes, man, I used to wonder about people that couldn't sleep. I'm finding, man, every now and then I wake up at weird hours and can't get back to sleep. How many of you wake up in the middle of the night and you just wide awake, can't get back to sleep? Might be a good time to just praise God, huh? Just run outside, start praising God. Man, your neighbors are wondering, what in the world is going on over there, huh? Praise God, man, right there at midnight. It'll do the same thing for you. And then the last thing we see is breakthrough. You got breakthrough. The praise of Paul and Silas caused a breakthrough to the jailer and his family. You know, that jailer, he sprang in there, man, he was worried about what was going to happen. See, if all the prisoners had escaped, they probably would have killed him for that reason. But he breaks through. And it broke through when you think about what Jesus Christ has done and what Paul and Silas were doing right then. They were breaking through cultural barriers. I mean, listen, Gentiles and Jews didn't socialize together. They wouldn't even go through the Samaria. They were even half Jews. They weren't even whole Jews. They wouldn't go through there. Paul and Silas didn't care, man. Listen, they said, we're going to talk to this jailer. He was probably a Gentile jailer. We're going to talk to this guy about the Lord. And so there was a breakthrough in his life, a cultural barrier, the societal barrier. You know, listen, when people hear us praising God, can you imagine what all them other prisoners were thinking down there in that prison? And what the jailer was thinking? You know, what was he used to hearing down there in that weeping and moaning and groaning and woe is me. And here's somebody that's acting completely different. Man, this guy, he's saying, and I'm sure he heard the words. You know, he heard what they were singing about. It was talking about the Lord and you know, he's thinking, man, you know what? I'm in this old, how'd you like, you know, just think about the jailer's life. You know, a whole message you could do on that. The jailer, what kind of life is that? You're in that stinking prison too, you know. You know, the sights, the sounds, the smells. He went to work. That's what he went to work in every day. Yeah, he's out there. He's locking people in, but he got to stay there all day. I bet he thought he was in prison when it was all over with. He'd been in there and go home every day of that stinking mess every day and hearing all that beating and screaming and people probably executed and all the things that would go along with being the jailer. He didn't know if he was in the prison or out of the prison. That's what he had to go through. And he thought, man, my life, what is there to be happy? You think he was happy? You think the jailer was in there singing every day? Praise God, boy, look at this. What a job I got. You know, nah, it was just a humdrum, mundane life that goes on that a lot of people are in right now. You might be here in that life, right? But he heard this singing going on, man. He said, man, there's something going on with them people. What is wrong with them people? Or what is right with them people? Man, they sound like they're glad. I'm not glad. I'm the jailer and I'm not glad. But they're glad. Man, I want to find out what they got. What do they have? See, when we're walking around moaning and groaning, I hear Christians so bad, man, you're pleading. Huh? And then you're going to talk to somebody about Jesus? Oh, come on down to our church. It's great. Come on, let me tell you about Jesus, man. You get saved. What a difference it'll make in your life. Man. I just can't believe it. Huh? No thanks. I got that at home. I got that at work. Right? But man, when you're just excited about what God's doing, man, you're just excited about what it is. I told Harold, I sent Harold a text back on that text he sent me. I said, boy, thank you, brother. I said, that means a lot. I said, I'm expecting God to do great things. Amen. Huh? I mean, expectation, the expectancy, man, when you're excited. You know, you see people like that, you go, man, that guy's got it going on. What's going on with him? He just hit the lottery or something. Shouldn't be playing a lot. I'm thinking, you know, that's attractive to people. And so this jailer sees it, man. He springs in there. Of course, he's real happy to find out they were still there. He said, oh, don't worry about it. Don't harm yourself. We're still here. We ain't worried about it, man. Why would we leave? We're having a great time. We're down there singing. He said, man, he comes in there. He comes in. He would have killed himself, the Bible said. He was going to fall on his sword because he knew he would lose his life if all the prisoners had escaped. He just figured, naturally speaking. But you know what? The other prisoners didn't even run off. Because you know why? They're all attracted to Paul and Silas. Like, what are they doing, man? That singing and that praising God had affected everybody. They didn't run out of there. They were hanging around with them. The doors open. Yeah, great, man. This is great right here. But this guy came in and said he was trembling in fear. And they preached Jesus Christ to him, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. They preached to him Christ, and they told him for the reason that they had joy in their song. What, you know, that's what you want somebody. If I tell you what, you got it. You got it. If somebody walks up to you one day and says, man, what in the world are you so happy about? Let me tell you. Huh? You know, you always say, well, I want to witness to somebody. I just don't know what to say. You get enough joy in your heart, you're not going to have nothing to say. They're going to come up to you. What in the world is going on in your life? Oh, well, let me tell you about it, man. Jesus Christ, that's what it is right there. Huh? Man, how do you get excited? I remember when I was younger, I was in the Navy. I was always in a good mood, pretty good mood. I was just grinning all the time. I remember I met this girl later on. I mean, I knew her just an acquaintance. And then we were in more of a people in the house, and this girl says, you know, when I first met you, I didn't like you. I said, why? She said, because you're always smiling. At least I got some kind of reaction out of her, you know. I said, that's something to be, what do you want me to do? I mean, she goes, well, you just acted like you knew something that nobody else knew. I said, maybe I do. Huh? What about that? That'd be a good one. Hey, yeah, I know something. If you don't know Jesus, I know something you don't know. Let me tell you about him right there. And so, boy, it had this appeal. And man, listen, this guy, he got saved. They told him the reason for the joy and the song in their heart, and he was saved along with his family. And look in verse 34. It says, when he had brought them to his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced. I got it underlined. And rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I'll tell you what's a cure, man, for your depression and your doldrums and all that. Just go lead somebody to Jesus Christ. All the rest of it won't matter. All the rest of it won't matter. Just lead somebody to Christ. That's going to be what's matter. He rejoiced. He believed, and he had a praise. Let me ask you, what about you today? Do you have something to praise God for today? Do you want something to praise God for today? Listen, if Jesus Christ is not in your heart, he can be there today. All you have to do is ask, Lord. Talk to the Lord about it. Ask him to come into your life and give you that joy that these men right here had. And I'm going to tell you what, you'll have reason to praise God.